wood all the way on down. All right, I want to ask you a question today. What kind of sandwiches do you really like? What's your favorite kind? It's back row there too. What kind?
Peanut butter and jelly
your dad makes. Man, that you're half right on this sermon, okay?
Yeah, he makes 5 days in a row, but sometimes they're just like, I'm just like a school lunch at school.
All right, he makes 5 days in a row. Does he make them like on Monday? Does he make all the sandwiches for the whole week? Or does he make like Tuesday sandwich on Tuesday and Wednesdays on Wednesday?
He makes them one at a time.
One at a time. Okay, well, that's good. I didn't know how that would go.
One a day.
One a day. Okay. Meatball at Firehouse Subs, okay? All right, there's a good one. Yeah.
Grilled peanut butter, jelly, and marshmallow.
Grilled peanut butter and jelly with marshmallow?
Yeah. My mom makes it sometimes.
I would like one of those, okay? I'm going to come over to your house and have one. Sounds good. What's your favorite?
A chicken sandwich.
A what?
A chicken sandwich.
Chicken sandwich, okay?
Peanut butter and honey sandwiches.
Peanut butter and honey, okay. Now, you know, today I want to talk about gourmet peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now, what does gourmet mean? Does anybody know what that means?
Fancy.
Fancy? Okay, that's a good word. It also means really, really good. Do you know what the difference between a regular peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a gourmet peanut butter and jelly sandwich is? That's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to see if I can help you with that question. Now, first of all, I'm going to start out here with just some regular peanut butter and jelly. Now, I got this at Kroger last night. This was 10 jars for $10, but I thought I'd just buy one, okay? So, $1 for this. And what's the difference between gourmet peanut butter? Well, I read a while back that there was restaurants in places like New York and Chicago where you could go in and pay like $3 or $4 or $5 for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And evidently, it's really good peanut butter and jelly. And I got to thinking about that, a gourmet peanut butter and jelly. Now, one of my favorite eating places, Block and Barrel Deli, run by Kip and Billy. You guys know that one. I'm going to suggest that they start selling about a $5 peanut butter and jelly sandwich over there. And I think that'll help everybody if they could do that. But now, I looked up on the internet, gourmet peanut butter and jelly. And it says, where could you find it? And the nearest place you could find it was Kroger. So you want to know what the difference between gourmet peanut butter and jelly and regular peanut butter and jelly is? It is about $3 a bottle, a thing. This was $4 and this was $1. And gourmet peanut butter and jelly at Kroger, this is cinnamon raisin swirl. And I, working on this sermon last night, I ate several crackers with this on it, sort of like doing research for it, okay? Now, this is really good. This is really good, but I want to tell you what I think the difference between gourmet peanut butter and jelly is. Now, I brought something here for you, for me today. This is not for you, and Frank Swenson tried to get into it while I was going there, but how do you like your sandwiches? Now, what does that say on there? Tom's Lunch. Okay, now, first of all, what is it? This just looks like a pretty much a regular peanut butter. Here's my regular peanut butter and jelly. If you just got that, there'd be pretty good. Just kind of looks ordinary. But you might get a little fancier here. Do you not like to eat the crusts? There's one with a crust cut off. There's some that don't like the crust on there. This one is cut in triangles, so it's pretty nice. But you know what's kind of special in this lunch bag here? Is a note. And it says, to Tom. And it says, Tommy. That's what they used to call me when I went to school. Hope you have a good day. Be nice to your friends. I love you, Mom. I went down to the beach this past week, and on the porch where we sat, there was a bird's nest up there. And every morning, those birds would be chirp, 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 chirp. They were just chirping like crazy, and they'd be getting worms and bugs and things. And the mama bird would fly up there and take those birds, take that food and put it into the nest for those little baby birds. And you know, those baby birds open up their mouth and mom will just drop those worms and stuff in. Well, what would happen is about 10 o'clock, we would go down to the beach, and my little grandson, Tucker and Easton, their mom would go in there, and she would fix peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And she would take them down to the beach, and about 11:30, everybody would come around, and they'd say, "Mom, I'm hungry, I'm hungry." And I kept watching this every day. They would come along, and finally I got my camera, and I made a picture. And you can see this next picture here. And here, go right ahead, one more. There's Easton, and you see what, his mouth is open? You know why his mouth is open and his hands are out? Because he wants his mom to put a peanut butter and jelly sandwich right in his mouth there. Because his hands had grit and sand on them, and he would come up to mom who was sitting in the chair, and he'd open his mouth just like one of those baby birds, and she would put the peanut butter and jelly sandwich in. Now, I want to tell you something. You know what I think the difference between a gourmet peanut butter and jelly sandwich is and a regular peanut butter and jelly sandwich? It's when mom or dad made it for you, and they made it specially with all kinds of love. And here's what I want you to do. When you get to school, if you eat the school lunch, that's fine. And some of you may even make your own lunch. There's nothing wrong with that. My boys used to make their own lunch and help out with that. But sometimes mom makes a very special sandwich. But I don't want you just to think about it like a brown paper bag or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I want you to hold that bag and say, "This sandwich is very, very special because my mom made it for me and it's filled with love." And that, my friends, is a gourmet peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, maybe one day this week when you get ready to go off to school, you'll reach up and give mom a hug and kiss and say, "Mom, I love you because I know you do a lot of things that help me. Thanks for my lunch and every other thing you do." Okay? Okay, go back and sit down. We are delighted to have you today if you're our guest and to be here at worship with us at the Auburn Church of Christ. It is kind of a slow time, and graduation was this week. We had a number of students that graduated, and many people have gone back to greet their mom and to celebrate Mother's Day at home. But we're just thrilled that you're here, and we want to worship together and worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the next slide, please. Today I have this lesson, and I just kept thinking about some wonderful things. I got thinking about mothers and how wonderful it is. And I do want to thank God for my mother. I think she's been a wonderful mother to me. For Linda's been the mother of my children. And Janelle and Andrea are great mothers. They just such a wonderful thing to me to just sit there and watch that. And to me, that was a lesson in God caring for us in through mothers. Now, I've had a lot of fun with this title, Gourmet Peanut Butter and Jelly. And really, maybe a better title might be Honor Your Mother. But I really like gourmet peanut butter and jelly. And I went over to take my mom some flowers over to Monarch Estates the other day. And I visited with her. And I went over to Miss Bailey's table and Miss Godoskis. And I was visiting with them. And I said to the ladies there was those two and a couple more ladies there. And I said, "You ladies know what my sermon is going to be on Sunday? It's going to be gourmet peanut butter and jelly." And the lady said, "Well, that sounds interesting, but I'm Baptist." And I said, "Ma'am, I want to assure you this is a non-denominational sermon, all right?" So today we want to talk about this. And really what we want to talk about is honoring our mothers and our sense our fathers as well. We have lots of new babies in our congregation. We have a lot of wonderful mothers. I look around in our congregation and I see some of them are, you know, up toward the upper ranges of that age. And some are just brand new mothers with holding these little children. And it just brings me great joy to see mothers and grandmothers and for us to celebrate this idea of motherhood. And our congregation has exploded with little babies, and what a great thing just to look in that nursery room and see it full. And one of the things today as we talk about this, we want to focus in this, and we really want to honor our mothers. I want to challenge you in this way. First of all, I want to challenge you to be a good mother. I want you to think about that. What does it mean? How important is it to be this fundamental function in society? It's earth-shakingly important, and it's so important that we ought to take a time and just celebrate and just think about what that means to us in that way. And I thank God that you are godly mothers and that you're trying to do things that are right. And so we celebrate it as well as being challenged today. Now, here's the focus of our lesson today. It comes from Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now you recognize this immediately as one of the Ten Commandments. And you recognize it by your counting that this is the fifth commandment. As we look at the Ten Commandments, as we think about those things, we see that the first commandment is to honor God. Love the Lord your God. That's the first commandment. And the first four commandments then deal with our relationship with God. Starting in verse 5, we find that there is a series of commandments that deal with dealing with our fellow man. So the fifth commandment, which is the start of section 2 that deals with how we get along with brothers and sisters and the people in the world, starts with this command: honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now think about the impact for this for a while. What he starts out with is that your very fundamental, the core of everything you do, is to give honor to God. And the core of all human relationships is to give honor within your earthly family. Now, there's two parts of this. First of all, simply a command: honor your father and your mother. And the second is the principle. And the principle is so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, let's go to the next slide here. And we see that we are to honor our mothers because God instructed us to do so. There's always a debate as we think about this, as we talk about how good mothers are and how wonderful they are and how we love them and what a special day it is. And any time that we do that, we're aware that in this world that there are some people that simply don't qualify in that case. We think back and we begin to work through what problems that we might have had with our mother. I read about this three ladies who were sitting around talking, and one of them said, my son loves me so much, said he paid for me a cruise around the world, and I went around all the world on a boat, said it was absolutely wonderful. That one said, my son loves me so much, said he bought me a house, and it's the most beautiful house, and said it's just fantastic. The third one said, well, I'm going to tell you what, said I'm very special to my son. He said he goes to the therapist three times a week and said he pays $130 an hour and all he ever talks about is me. Now, everybody's view of what it means to be a good mother is not necessarily the same. We sometimes have to work through some things. We have some issues that we have to deal with. But I want you to understand something today, and that is that God instructed us to honor our mothers, and we don't necessarily honor our mothers because they're so good. We honor our mothers because God told us to. And that's the reason we do it. And if you're able to honor your mother because she's been a good and loving and kind mother, what a great blessing. What a fantastic heritage that you have. What a wonderful thing that it is that you're able to do that. Now, as we think about this, I read about a woman who said that she was really praying because she had a very difficult relationship with her mother. And she was praying to God that she would get better over this, that things would be better. And her own daughter brought her a present for Mother's Day. And it was a necklace. And the necklace had a dove clasp on it. And she said that her little daughter had bought it for her, and it was too small. It was actually a child's necklace. So they got an extender, and she began to wear this necklace. And she said she continued to focus on this dove that was on this necklace. And she said, you know, as I prayed about this and I thought about it, my relationship with my mother improved noticeably. And she said, I don't know if it was because I looked at it differently or because things had gotten better. But she said, when I saw things through the eyes of the dove, everything looked different. And when we see things through the eyes of Jesus Christ, when we see things through the eyes of God, things look different. And we really learn to have a good view of honoring our fathers and our mothers. Here's a scripture from Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 through 25. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son and delights in him. May the father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Now, I alluded to the fact that there are sometimes difficulties between that we might have with our parents. But I might also say there's difficulties that sometimes we have with our children. Not every child is a delight to their parents. Not every child brings great joy. And we may think that it comes automatically, that mom and dad are just going to love us and be crazy about us and go on and on about us. But let me tell you, sometimes they might have to swallow hard to do that. And if we've not been a very good son or not a very good daughter, we may want to be the kind of person here who we can be able to say, may your father and mother be glad, and may she who gave you birth rejoice. And if you have that kind of son or daughter, you may also share that feeling and share that time together. Today, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about what does it mean to honor our mother. He says that we are to honor our father and mother. And in this case, it's sort of this biblical view of honor and not necessarily the Hallmark view of honor. But we'll talk about that just a little bit as we go along. There are two Hebrew words that are translated. This command is given in two different places. And it's interesting that similar but different words are used in those places. To give honor, it means to give honor, to give weight to glorify, or to hold in esteem. And there's a second word that goes along with this, to have reverence for or to stand in awe of. There's different people throughout the years have testified that they've been afraid of their mother. When they are being brought up in the nurture admonition of the Lord, that there were certain times in which they knew they weren't doing right and they knew that they had to answer to mom. And this idea of giving honor sure has a lot to do with sentimentality, but sometimes it has a little bit to do with standing in awe of, too. That we have a little fear there because mom intends for us to do right, and there may be some strong consequences if we don't do that, then we may reap those consequences, and we may hold them in this sense of honoring them, in the sense of awe or fear. Now, I have two or three things that I just want to mention to you that I think honoring means. First of all, honor means a healthy dose of sentimentality in our culture. The day was actually proclaimed Mother's Day on May the 4th. It was 1914 when the Mother's Day was instituted in the United States. I personally believe it was started by the florist. It seems to me that came along. But it's a good thing because 3,500 years ago, God told us to honor our mothers and fathers. Now, mothers seem to enjoy this great day of sentimentality, and I will say this to you, those that I ran into you out at the mall last night, your secret's safe with me, okay? I know you're out there, and there was a lot of men out there at the mall with little kids, and they were going around getting ready for Mother's Day today. And we give mom a call, or we give her a card, or we take her out to eat, or we do some particular amount of hug for her, and why do we do that? Why don't we kind of let it be awash in sentimentality on Mother's Day? The answer is because most of the rest of the time they're awash in dishwater, dirty clothes, bath time. There's a time when a mom is given all that time to taking care of everybody and doing so much for everybody and helping in so many different ways. There's a time to just stop and recognize that and say, you know, the things that you do for me, I appreciate. And so in our culture, to honor our mother includes a healthy dose of sentimentality. But there's a second thing that I believe that honor means, and that is more important, and it is the sense of respect. There is a saying that I like to say, it is more important to be respected than to be liked. Most of us want to be liked, but it seems to me far more important to be respected. And this idea of honoring our father and mother shows that we have a sense of respect for them, that we show them the deference that they have, but we put them in that sense on a pedestal, or we hold them in this regard, and we treat them with respect. Now, that may mean politeness, it may mean kindness, it may mean being decent to them. Let me give you this word from Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Now, cursing in the Old Testament is a little deeper than just using a foul language or saying a bad word. It means to literally say, I invoke the power of God to bring bad things upon you. I intend for bad things to happen to you. May bad things come your way. And so this person that speaks with disrespect, or this person that curses their father and mother, the penalty under the Old Testament was to be put to death. Ever heard a teenager ranting or raving against their mother or father? Now, folks, we all get frustrated from time to time. But there is no place for a Christian teenager to speak with blatant disrespect and to be yelling and screaming and angry at mom or dad. They deserve better than that. They deserve our respect and they deserve our honor. And it starts when children are very little. They learn the ability to respect and they learn the ability to treat their parents with dignity. And if we allow a little child that's 3 years old not to treat their parents with dignity over a long period of time or do it repeatedly, we're just saying, hey, when you get to be 16, you'll treat me like absolute dirt. So we learn that from the very beginning, and children learn. They are taught respect. We certainly need to learn to teach that in our society. Now, let me ask you a question today. Does your mother love you enough to make you obey and teach you character? Every person is able to testify and say, my mother made me do this, and I hated it at the time. I hated cleaning my room. I hated taking out the garbage. I hated dressing up. I hated doing this. But my mother taught me to do that. And now we look back years later and we say, I thank God that she taught me to do this. One of the problems in society is just, in some ways, just permissiveness that allows us to do anything and get by with anything and never to show respect. And as we do that, we need to learn to teach our children to show character. And I want to tell you teens out here and tell you little guys out there, when your mom makes you do what's right, it is a sign that she loves you enough to steer you in the right direction and to help you do the things that are truly right and good. And if we don't love our kids that much, then we're making a mistake. We need to teach our children discipline because we truly need them. The word honor has a third sense, and the word honor is the word honorarium. You say, I spoke somewhere and they gave me an honorarium, meaning they gave me money. They paid me to do something. And in the Bible itself, the idea of honoring is that when your parents get old and they cannot provide for themselves and they cannot do things on their own, then you are supposed to be a person that helps with that. And we might translate that in the word support. When our parents need our financial support, we have an obligation to do that. And so as we think about what God wants us to do, it involves not just sending a card, not just giving some help, but support is needed. In Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13, Jesus took the Pharisees to task. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban, that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. Suppose you had an apartment in your house and your mother really needed a place to stay. Or your mother-in-law really needed a place to stay. And you just didn't want them there. And so you said, well, I know you're in need, but here's the deal. I decided to rent that apartment out and I'm going to give the money to the church mission fund. Would it be a good thing to take the money from that rent and give it to the mission fund? Well, it would be good. But it wouldn't be pleasing to God. Because God would say your first duty, your first obligation would be to take care of your mother or your mother-in-law. You were to honor them and you were to treat them with dignity and respect. And if you set that aside, then you're not doing what you ought to do for God. To honor God, however, to honor your parents means something also very important, and that is to follow their teaching about God. Whenever he gives this, he says you're to honor your father and mother, and this is why, so that you may live long in the Lord, in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, in Ephesians it says, this is the first commandment with promise, you're to honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth. But this section of giving of the Ten Commandments takes place right before they're going into the promised land. And as a group, as God's people, they were to be a kind of society that showed respect and honor for their parents. And as much as I make fun of Hallmark and the cards and the florist, as a society, we must be people that shows honor for our parents. And this was a condition of the fulfillment of the covenant promise of entering into the promised land. I'm taking you into a land that flows with milk and honey. But as you go, here are 10 commandments, 10 rules to live by. And the very first one under this human section is to honor your father and mother. Why? It has to do with your living long in the land. If your parents teach you the Word of God, they're doing you a tremendous favor. They're doing something wonderful. And if mom sings lullabies to you, she sings church songs and children's songs, and if she sings Jesus Loves You to you, she's teaching you about the Word of God. And if she reads to you Bible stories at night and teaches you the Word of God, she's a godly mother doing good things. And if mom works through teenage ins and outs and says, honey, I love you too much to let you get by with doing less than your best. If mom has got that thing to hold you in check, to keep you as a person that loves God, then you have a godly mother, and you certainly need to honor her and respect her in almost every way. Honor your father and mother, and here's the reason why, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Two parts to that, honor and blessing. And today we are supposed to do that. We're to live in just that way. And whether it means sending a card or making a call, by really means it means 365 days a year, we treat our parents with decency and respect, and we try to be the kind of parents that God wants us to be. I want to close the lesson today with, you've seen sort of a background up there, and you may say, why in the world does he keep putting those dandelions up there? Well, it just so happens that our friends Don and Earlene Elkins are here, and Don graduated from Auburn, and he was in the agriculture department up at SIU and worked his way up there through the ladders, and he's very competent. He and the Alversons are very good friends, and they lived up there with us, and there was a section of grass kind of like here out between the church and the road out there. And they redid that section, and there was a ditch there, and they made a sidewalk there, and they redid all that, but they just did a terrible job of sowing grass out there. And one day I asked Don, I said, Don, you know something about grass. Would you go out there and re-sod that area or do something? I said, the grass just looks terrible out there. So Don says, yeah, he would do that. So I noticed one day I came up, and he was working hard, and sweat was just rolling off of him, and he had scratched all that ground and sort of tilled it up a little bit with the hoe, and he'd put seed down there and watered it, and he had straw all over there so it would retain the moisture and the grass seed would sprout. I said, thanks a lot. I'm sure that'll be great. So at any rate, I went home, spent the night, and did whatever I had to do, and then I went out of town for a couple of days. I came back in. I sat down around the supper table one night, and we got back, and I looked out there, and there were all the hay was put in piles. And so I'm eating supper, and one of the boys says, hey, Dad. I said, what? And he said, somebody strewed hay all over the church lot over there, and we gathered it all up and put in piles, and we're going to haul it off. Well, let's just say we never did have good grass in that area, okay? We had a few dandelions there. But you know, when my little boys would go out on that lawn, it's those dandelions, and I can see them now, just little tykes. And they go out there and they pick up a flower, a dandelion, and they say, we're going to take this to mom. And they'd take that flower in there and hand it to her, and she would thank them for it and put it in a jar, water, vase, find something for that little flower for a day or two. And she'd catch him not looking and throw it away. You know, what is it about a mom that when you bring her a dandelion flower, she tells you it's beautiful? It's because she loves you and because she sees the potential in you. When I thought about that, I thought about some of my offerings to God. Some of the things that I bring to God must be more useless than dandelions. But in a childlike faith, when we bring what we have to God, I think He must accept it and put it somewhere special and see in our hearts the love that we have So, Mom, when you're treating that child like that, I'm hoping and praying that God is treating me just the same. Are you following the teachings of your mother today? The teachings of your father? Have they led you in the way that's right? I want to tell you one of the greatest things in our generation, and that is that there are some people who got very little spirituality from their parents who are now bringing their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They saw what it was like to grow up without it. They saw what it was like to be in a family that did not have God. And they have embraced God. And I thank God on a regular basis for those type of things. And today, if you want to give your life over to God, I want you to know that you come in simple faith and trust, being willing to repent of your sins. You come being willing to confess the name of Jesus before this man, this audience today. We will simply ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Then you're baptized to have all your sins washed away. And today, if you've gone away from that teaching and you need to return home, or if you want to be a Christian today, please come and let it be made known while together we stand and while we sing.